This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio. If you are a regular listener, you know that, and I hope you probably share our mission of preventing abortion and helping those whom it has hurt. And you also probably know that I trained in pro-life apologetics and in pro-life ministry. A couple of years ago, we started our courses at Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and I recommend that program. It's a certificate program, and it's designed for pregnancy help center workers and pro-life advocates like me who want to support the work that pregnancy centers do. It was a very, very thorough course. Scott Klusendorf taught us how to make the case for life from science and philosophy, and, of course, to support it with Scripture, because science and philosophy are completely in harmony with God's Word, especially on this issue. And then we also learned public speaking skills from Dr. Mark Newman. We learned the foundations of life, the biblical apologetic from John Enzor. And that was a life-changing course, I know, for all of us. And then Professor Wendell Weaver of Oklahoma Wesleyan got to us on the business of doing ministry as nonprofit workers. And that was invaluable work for me. It's taken our short feature for Cradle My Heart today to hundreds of radio stations. It's now airing on over 800 radio stations, and we have at least one TV network reaching 69 million homes with our videos every week. Just incredible training that unleashed so much ministry for me personally, and I know for everybody in my cohort. So it's always my pleasure to be able to introduce one of them to you. And today we're going to talk with Connie Wyatt, whom I met at Oklahoma Wesleyan. And she, too, is a speaker and a pro-life apologist. And she's also the current CEO of Wise Choices Pregnancy Resource Center in Decatur, Texas. Connie, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you so much, Kim. I'm excited to be here.
First of all, put us on the map. Where's Decatur?
It is northwest of Fort Worth, about 30 miles.
Okay, so we're not far from DFW.
Not far. Just far enough to get in, do what you need to do, and get out.
One of the things... you're like the wide open spaces, I suppose, in Texas, I'm thinking.
Yes, ma'am.
So one of the things I remember about one of your speeches, Connie, was a comparison that you made to the annual budget of the Planned Parenthood business in your area compared to the annual budget of organizations like yours. And I don't know if you remember the numbers, but
maybe
you can give us a little bit of context for the mission that you're embarking on, because it is, the challenge is great.
It is great. Wise Choices, which is the pregnancy help center that I'm a part of, our annual budget is about $375,000 to $400,000 a year. We have incredible donors. It's an incredibly generous community, so we're blessed. Sounds great until you compare it to the closest Planned Parenthood, which is North Fort Worth Planned Parenthood, and that one center, their budget is $21
million
per year.
Wow. It really is a David and Goliath situation, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
And, you know, when you quote that budget from a couple of years ago, that's increased quite a bit under your leadership, hasn't it, Connie?
It has. It's exciting. The budget for 2018 we'll begin working on in a month or two, but... we are in the process. We have just ordered our Stork bus. So it is going to be a 37-foot mobile medical unit that will be covering our area and reaching women that we can't reach inside our four walls. And so our budget for next year is going to be increased yet again, but it's exciting to watch our community get behind it and support doing what we can to reach out and change the legacy of this county one life at a time.
Wonderful. And, you know, the Stork Bus, if people aren't familiar with it, it's a mobile ultrasound unit that allows women to be able to view their baby in their pregnancy. But the Stork Bus doesn't just do that. There's a great deal of ministry that happens with these vehicles. Maybe just give us the thumbnail sketch of what happens in the bus.
Ours will be similar to our center. We ordered the larger one. We have room. There's three rooms basically in it. The front room will be where the clients come in and are welcomed and talked to, and our advocates will be meeting with them, getting to know them, just getting their story and where they are. The second room will be pregnancy testing. We're also going to add STI testing in that room. And then the third room is the ultrasound room, where we will have the capability of showing them life in the womb. So it's an amazing tool.
It is, isn't it? And I've heard women say that, you know, I was shown a picture of my baby or a picture of a baby, a developing fetus, when I was trying to make a decision whether or not to go forward with a pregnancy. But the ultrasound showed me my baby. So, yeah. I mean, it's really a game changer. I think, I hope most of us who have a heart for pro-life, the pro-life cause, understand this, but maybe just, you know, flesh that out for us, Connie, in your experience of the difference that ultrasound makes.
Sometimes testimony's the easiest. We had a young girl that came in not too long ago, already had a child, was just in desperate financial and emotional situation, and was pregnant and was determined she was going to have an abortion. And we took her through, and when we did the ultrasound, the nurse just barely even put the instrument on her stomach, and that little baby just face forward, almost like it was waving. And the whole time, just like a big camera ham showed off for the camera. And she was not only able to see just the baby and her baby, she saw the heartbeat. Not her heartbeat, the baby's heartbeat. And it just made that impact so real that was her baby and a separate life. And she chose to change her mind and decided that she is going to carry to term and she is going to parent. And so we're going to be able to walk side by side with her through that choice and through that process. So we were thrilled.
I guess. What amazing work you get to do. And, of course, it doesn't always work out that way. But when it does,
no.
It just, I mean, I got goosebumps just listening to the story because, wow, when you see hope dawn and when you see a life changed, it's really something to behold. You know, Connie, you and I both have our own personal experience with abortion, and you've been kind to share your story with me. And I want you to talk about today. I don't know that you would necessarily call this your motivation for the work that you do today, but I know that you do have your own personal story regarding abortion.
I do. I was 20. I was terrified. I all the answers. I thought I was in love forever. But I ended up pregnant, and he ended up not interested. And I was terrified of my father. I was terrified of, you know, just to be real honest, my reputation. Just fear. Fear was the overwhelming feeling. And I made a choice I regret, and I ended that pregnancy in abortion and took that life. And, I think sometimes out of fear, the thought is that that's an easy option. That's the easy way out. And I told not a soul for 20 years. Not one soul. Carried it myself. And number one, it is not an easy choice. And number two, the enemy lurks in the darkness, and when you keep it a secret for years and years, the darkness of that secret makes it even worse. There is no healing in darkness.
Connie, you know, and you're right about that. And when you speak about the enemy, if someone's a new listener to this program, Connie's talking about the one Jesus referred to as the enemy of our souls. And he is a very real presence in this world. And he absolutely is a murderer from the start, Jesus said about him. And everyone I talk with who has had any personal experience with abortion will talk about the aspect of spiritual warfare. Even if they don't use those terms, they will talk about the spiritual aspect of it. And this has been my primary interest because my spirit at the time that I made that choice, Connie, was so far from God. I had teaching as a kid, but I didn't understand God's grace. I had not yielded my heart to Jesus Christ as Lord or Savior, which are two different things in my experience. And, you know, so my spiritual approach to it was I have to save myself here because, as you say, the fear, people don't understand a pregnancy to a young woman in this launch phase of life. It presents itself to her as the death of her dreams, the death of her future, as you said, the death maybe of her reputation. Yeah. And I think that, you know, fear is the overriding emotion. But yet, even almost immediately in the aftermath, my conscience kicked in and said, oh, now God must hate me. Now I'm going to hell. There was a huge spiritual price for me to pay in the immediate aftermath and for years going forward as well. Mm. And I know for you, things were a little bit different for you spiritually going into that. Talk about the mindset and why it is that you think that fear won with you. I mean, I don't pretend my story represents a group or everyone. You know, I'm not sure my story is representative, but I know that in sharing my story, people will always say, well, that really resonated with me, that particular part of it. So tell us more about that mindset of fear and what it did to your faith.
I allowed it to overpower it. I was saved at 14, surrendered to the ministry, which, you know, I don't even know at 14 I knew what that meant. I just knew that not only had I made the Lord, Jesus, the Lord of my life, but I felt compelled to not be satisfied just in that, but to do something with it. To do something to live it out. And so when I say surrender to the ministry, that's not necessarily something that not all of us are called to do, but I knew in my heart and in my mind that I was supposed to walk this thing out, not just accept it. And so, you know, I had gone to college. My father and my relationship was not good. There's an old country and western song, and I apologize being from Texas and quoting it, but looking for love in all the wrong places, and truly I had. And I had thought I found it, and, you know, when your world comes crashing down, it's difficult, you know. Even at 20, you think, well, you've been a Christian for 6 years. Yes, but you're still, when that fear hits, you still are a terrified little girl looking for a way to fix a problem. And, you know, some young women have the support of their family to turn to. And I can't blame my father here. I don't know how he would have handled it. The fear determined how I thought he would handle it. So, I don't know. Just reality doesn't really come to the forefront. It's just fear, and I didn't have anybody to sit back and talk to. I didn't know of a pregnancy help center to go to. I I went from fear to the abortion clinic, and they absolutely don't instill hope and encouragement in your life when you go there. Fear won out. I can remember going into the clinic and, you know, people say how they are pro-women. My story is I went in. I did not have to hand them an ID. I gave them a fake name, a fake date of birth, a fake social. They did the procedure the same day. I almost died on the table. They revived me, finished the procedure, set me in a chair for 30 minutes, and sent me out the door to drive myself home.
Mm, wow.
It wasn't the caring help for women that a lot of them proclaim to be.
Oh, my goodness. Brutal. Just
brutal.
Physically and in every way, brutality, violence. So, Connie, how did God break through? What was the turning point in your faith that allowed you to now be helping others make a better choice?
I had, through the course of the years, I had come to terms and had gotten to a place where I knew the Lord had forgiven me. And I had pretty well forgiven myself, so I thought. And I was actually in full-time women's ministry. But I had a recurring nightmare that when I would get up and be speaking to women, that on a big screen behind my head would be playing out my little secret sin. And actually had a women's conference at which my ministry had put it on, and I was the keynote. And we made a point to always have other ministries come in. So not only were we encouraging women to walk in out their faith and walk out their calling, we had other ministries come in from our area to give them different avenues and more information on avenues to plug in. And one of the ladies that had come was from Wise Choices. And she got up and spoke about Wise Choices, didn't even mention post-abortive care and healing and restoration. Found out later she was kind of kicking herself because she hadn't, because we know the statistics. We know the numbers of 1 in 3 by the time you're the age 45. So she knew there were some women who were post-abortive in the meeting. But God translated it, and that day it was just enough. And I opened up to her and later came to Wise Choices and went through Forgiven and Set Free, which is an incredibly strong healing program, and just was able to get out of the darkness and let the secret out. I knew Jesus had forgiven me. I had forgiven me, but in my mind, no one else, no other person would ever be able to forgive what I had done. Jesus could, but no one else would, was the fear still. And once God got hold of it and broke free, and his love truly impacted my life and impacted my restoration and my healing, it's amazing the love that your brothers and sisters have for you. I hadn't even told my husband, and so my counselor was like, you know you have to go home and tell your husband, right? yes, okay, fine. But after 20 years of darkness, God was able to shine the light just by being who he is in the lover of our soul, our hope, our future, the light of the world. And once you let that shine in, it dispels the darkness.
Connie, I just had to tell you, I'm holding back tears here because as you're speaking, I'm realizing how God made that nightmare come true as a dream come true, that in fact you are standing with your story on the backdrop, bringing
yes.
him glory through your secret that you held all those years. And it's just, Incredible how God turns things around, isn't it?
It is. And I, between that and I've had people tell me that, I mean, when I got asked, after I was healed and whole, and I came on and volunteered at Wise Choices, and a few years later I got asked to join the board of directors here. And I thought to myself, there is no way the Lord could redeem this any further. I mean, only God can redeem someone who had had an abortion to now be on the board of directors of a pregnancy center to help save the unborn. Only God can do that. And I even had people telling me that I was serving here out of penance or save a life because I'd taken a life or all different aspects. But about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, my mother had fallen, and I had gone to her home in Arkansas to pack it up and move her down here with me. And she had left my room pretty well in the order, you know, that we always left it in. It was still my room. She even had left, and for some people listening, they won't really remember what this is, but we didn't text. Back when I was in junior high and high school, right. We didn't have cell phones. We passed notes.
Right.
And she still had all my shoe boxes of notes in my closet. So I started looking through some of the stuff in my closet, and I found a will that I had written when I was 16. I have no idea why I was writing a will at 16. I have no idea what I really thought, because I started out, you know, I, Connie, being of sound mind, leave everything I own. Well, I don't really know what I thought I owned at 16.
Okay.
But I left it all to the pro-life movement. And for God to allow me to find that will just spoke volumes that he had put that as the desire of my heart years before I had allowed Satan to try to steal it and shut it up and shut it down. But he is still on the throne, and his plan is still on the throne. And so as only God can, now I get the opportunity to be the CEO of this amazing ministry and be a part of it every day and stand for life every day in all the different ways that he's equipped me to do it, and to stand shoulder to shoulder with some of the most amazing frontline people I've ever met in my life.
Connie Wyatt is our guest. She is currently CEO of Wise Choices Pregnancy Resource Center in Decatur, Texas, just north of Fort Worth, as we've recently learned, and as a prior business owner and CEO in the trucking and then the oil and gas industry. She also has some powerful insight into how you walk out your anointing by faith, even in an environment that may not be conducive to sharing Christ. And Connie, we just have about 3 minutes remaining, but you've really inspired us. You have really brought hope with your story of what God has done and is doing through you. And I just want to ask you, you know, in the minutes remaining, what is the margin of difference as you're working with individual women, some of whom are just needing a hug and support, some of whom are thinking of abortion, but they don't even really know what that is? Others of whom are saying, I have no other choice. I'm going to get an abortion. What is it that you think helps someone to choose life?
Once these girls can see that life is not an accident, there is a creator who created life. It's a precious thing. It's not just something Big Bang Theory that happens. It is created, intended, purposeful, theirs and their babies. And once they realize that that is a life with a purpose, with its own heartbeat, the light comes on, not just for God's love for them, but God's love for them and God's love for their child. We have to believe we are created by something bigger than ourselves. And that, I think, is the key. God's the key to all of it. His love and his hope.
Sure, helping them see that this is a spiritual experience. Again, Connie Wyatt is CEO of Wise Choices Pregnancy Center in Texas, in Decatur, Texas. And she also has a vibrant speaking ministry. And as you heard, she travels around the country. So if you want to know more about Connie and how to get in touch with her, please visit our website at cradlemyheart.org. Thank you so much for being with us. Please visit the website and get a taste of all of the resources that are available there, not just our weekly radio guests, but articles, our daily feature, our weekly videos, so much for you. Most of it is free of charge because it's our desire, again, to be preventing abortion and helping those it hurts. And now stay with us here on Faith Radio. We will be opening the phones for your calls at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken with Him, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Well, good evening, and thank you so much for being part of our live portion of the broadcast. The phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. And I would love to hear your reaction to Connie's story. Connie's a woman who didn't start out in life as a pro-life advocate out front, although, as you heard from her story, she was all in at a very young age until life intervened. She's not a person who was an activist, is what I want to say. And she came into the pro-life movement and into the pregnancy help work movement because of her business expertise. And so it's been very interesting to see the reaction to people, you know, hearing that Connie was going to share her story. And I just really applaud her for opening up her heart. And if you want to do that too, give us a call at 1-800-811-3003. You know, the reason we share our stories, of course, is to give God the glory. And I can remember many people cautioning me that I should not be public with such a private story. Back in the day, before I answered God's call to share the truth about abortion, and I was every bit of as afraid of that as I was of being pregnant. You know, these fears are so huge, and it's a fear of an imagined public that holds some sort of power over us. As Connie mentioned, reputation, and that was a big thing for me too. But today is National Radio Day, and I thought I would share my story, and I haven't done that in this way. I've given you bits and pieces, obviously. As I just said, you know, I'm a person who has been public with having had an abortion, but I thought I would share my story because it's completely bound up in my radio career. And it's very dear. I didn't realize that it was National Radio Day till I took a quick look at Twitter this afternoon. And I said, National Radio Day? Oh, this would be fun. I found a picture in the archives of an interview with Kathy Ireland. And if we were cracking up about something. I don't remember even what the joke was, but I remember she's just a lovely person and a wonderful woman of God. It was a great interview. I asked her about, you know, the pressure to be beautiful all the time, and she had a great answer. She said to me something, you know, some words about how, look, your neighbor may have a boat parked outside their mansion, but is it paid for, and are they losing sleep over the bills at night? You know, appearance isn't everything. In fact, it isn't anything. Really, what matters is who we are. And she's just I'm just so I don't know. It was just a wonderful thing to have the opportunity to interview her. So I just put that picture up on Twitter and said that, you know, it was one of my favorites from my broadcast days. And, you know, she is my favorite pro-life celebrity, because if you've ever heard her story, I think she was interviewed on Mike Huckabee's show when he had a TV show. And she talked about, you know, reading her husband's medical text. He's a doctor, and, you know, reading embryology. And she said, you know, it's a life. And she became pro-life based on the science. And, you know, I mean, as a high-profile celebrity, if you think it's difficult for a woman to share the truth about having had an abortion, try being in the public eye and being 100% pro-life. It's a very brave thing, you know, for her to speak out about it. So I put my little tweet up, and I went ahead and tagged her in the tweet, and she answered me, which was, I mean, that was just so dear. Thanks, Kim. And this is what I love about what Kathy Ireland said in her response. She said, as an advocate for life at every stage, we must never judge a woman who's had an abortion. When it occurs, there are two victims. That is an amazing insight, and it's such a loving response. And that just really blessed me. And I told her it blesses every woman who reads that, because we all still fear who might say what. You know, if you think that simply because I'm public, it doesn't feel vulnerable to say, you know, what the truth is about the story, well, you're mistaken. It's always a vulnerable thing when we share something this deeply personal. But if we allow fear to silence us, how will we warn others? We are the witnesses to the truth of it. Now, not every woman who experiences it is willing to tell the truth. Some remain deceived in their hearts. Some remained too broken to speak. So I don't judge those women who don't speak out. But if we allow fear to silence us, who will warn others about the truth of what it really is? So I'll say to you about my story. And I wrote the whole story in the book, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion. And I've mentioned this before, but someone got in touch with me just recently for a free copy, and we always will make that available. It's a nonprofit effort here. So if you need a copy, you send me an email, kim@cradlemyheart.org, and we'll send you one. Didn't write the book to make money, okay? I'm not here plugging the book for profit. I'm just telling you, we wrote it as a resource so that people could access the scriptures. It's stories from the Bible of people who appropriated the ministry personality of Jesus Christ, you know, for their healing, and how we can still do that today. That's what the book is about. But my story unfolds in light of these scriptures as well. And what happened was, I was in a committed relationship, and we were engaged, but not married. I was 23 years old. And I had put myself through broadcasting school. Well, I went to college for a couple of years at Northwestern University as a theater major. And I decided pretty early on that I didn't really want to pursue a career in theater. So there I was, not really knowing what I was doing at Northwestern University. I was very aimless. And so I quit and walked away after 2 years. It was a very foolish decision. But it was the decision that I made. And I was looking for love in all the wrong places. But my dad was very kind and never spoke a word of rebuke to me. Instead, tried to help me find some direction and suggested that I go to radio school. There was a vocational program in Minneapolis at the time. It's still there. I think it's Brown College now. It was Brown Institute when I was there, and they gave you a broadcasting certificate. You needed one. This was so long ago, and the FAA required you to have a certificate that you could do something with a transmitter, which they prepared me to pass the test, I'll tell you. And so I went through that program and got a job, and my first job at WJON in St. Cloud, Minnesota, working 11 p.m. to 4 a.m., and I had an air name. My handle was Ann Jackson. I called my show the Ann Jackson Affair, as an overnight DJ. Anyway, after a year, I was hired to work in the Twin Cities, and that was my dream. That was my hometown, at the time, and I, you know, I was 23 years old, had my own show, and life was great. Well, I had become engaged in, you know, I was commuting back and forth to the Twin Cities in that year to see my fiance. And so this was great. We were going to be able to be together, and I had this, I had the job now, and about 3 months into the job, I'm pregnant. And when I shared that news with him, he said that we weren't getting married and he wouldn't support a pregnancy. And there were two or three people that I consulted with, and they said, you know, well, you're 23 years old and you've got this career and you're going to have to take care of yourself. You should have an abortion. It was 1978. It was a long time ago. I realized recently I would have a 40-year-old. That's how long ago this has been. But, you know, human nature being what it is, the story is still the same when I talk to young women today. I mean, things are a little bit different. You could do a little research on Google or, you know, your phone, which we didn't have back then. Sometimes young women don't. They take the word of the people that they entrust with their health care at Planned Parenthood or places like that. And that's what I did. I asked, is it a baby? And they said, no, it's just tissue. And I asked, is it painful? And they said, no, it's like having a tooth extracted. And so I allowed that decision to be made for me, and I passively went through with it. And it was a simple procedure medically, but emotionally and spiritually, it was quite traumatic. And I believe it's always traumatic. Even if women have general anesthesia, I believe it's always traumatic because we've been present when another human being has died. And we have to process that as a loss. But the culture says it's not a human being, so there's no loss to process. And so it's extremely difficult to even acknowledge that there is grief going on. And I stayed locked in that place of being unable to access my own grief and cycling into despair and denial and despair and denial for a lot of years. You know, during that time, I became a follower of Jesus Christ, which only made things worse in the short term. That period of attrition until full repentance sets in, where you're just so aware of your sin, but you don't have the gift of repentance to access the remedy, the redemption of life in Jesus Christ. But that did happen for me eventually, and that alone is what allows me to share the story and to tell you that by the grace of God, I am who I am, and I'm not who I was. It's time for a short break. We'll take your phone calls. If you want to share your story, this is a great place to do it. You don't have to give your name. You can call in anonymously. That's okay. And we'll keep all your information private. 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003. And again, if you have a word of encouragement for Connie, our guest earlier tonight, and share your hope and how her story impacted you, join us to share that as well here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. 1-800-811-3003. You know, when I first began sharing my story, there were people who cautioned me that it wasn't wise, that it wasn't necessary, that it wasn't polite, that it was a downer, that it was not going to be popular. I remember before I wrote my book, someone said to me, well, is this what you want to be known for? And they said, is this what you want to talk about for the next couple of years as you promote the book? And these were all good questions, right? I mean, The only reason that I share my story is, well, there are two reasons, as I said, to warn others, to tell the truth, to warn others that from conception forward, there's a distinct living and whole human being present in every pregnancy. A life that has value because it's made in the image of God from the moment of conception forward. A life equally valuable to mine. A life entrusted to me. That's what was destroyed in that abortion. And I don't bear 100% accountability. There were many, many people who were accountable for not preventing that abortion and some for actively promoting it. They've all been forgiven by me because God's grace and mercy has covered all of it. And I have the assurance that I have a child in heaven that I will see by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And so for those reasons, I'm free to speak and share the truth. But the reason that I do it is to let you know what God can do for a broken, desperate sinner. He can restore and redeem and renew, and he can return what's been wasted. You know, as I was in the period of healing and in the moment of knowing that I was fully forgiven, but not knowing all that God would have in store for me, I came to that verse in Ecclesiastes 3 that says, God has made everything beautiful in his time. And I thought, how will you make this beautiful? But here we are, all these years later, as I've collected hundreds of stories of God's hand in the lives of women and men just like me, who made a terrible mistake or who were faced with a terrible choice and did the right thing, the loving thing, the life-affirming choice. And in every story, God's love shines. I want to share with you this song from Graham Kendrick and Townsend and Getty. And if you've heard it, just enjoy it. But listen to it in light of how often abortion is presented as something that will preserve our worth. This is, my worth is not in what I own.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. As summer flies, we fade and die. Fade youth and beauty. Eternal calls to us at the cross.
is here that I confess my worth and my unworthiness, my value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. Rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I trust in Him, no other. My soul is satisfied in Him alone. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring.
Is because, you know, the lyric in that final verse says, two wonders here that I confess, my worth and my unworthiness. My value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. This is what we need to understand after abortion or in the midst of the chaos of an unintended pregnancy. And so often, those voices outside our heads, or maybe even close inside our lives, that tell us we need to take a certain course of action or we need to not speak truth, those voices begin to determine our worth, begin to make us feel as though if we don't listen to that, if we don't satisfy that particular vision of our future, that we have no future whatsoever. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful song. It's one of my favorites. And Graham Kendrick is, you know, if he's been at it, he's written over 400 worship songs. And in speaking about this one in particular, he's said that, you know, this idea about my worth and my unworthiness, it came from some words written by John Stott, who said, "Our self is a complex entity of good and evil, glory and shame, of creation and fall. We're created, fallen, and redeemed, then recreated in God's image. Standing before the cross, we see simultaneously our worth and our unworthiness, since we perceive both the greatness of His love in dying and the greatness of our sin in causing Him to die." How better to help people understand our worth and our unworthiness, and the infinite love of God, than by sharing the truth, as Connie did with us tonight. It's just such a beautiful thing. I encourage you, you know, if there's an abortion in your past and you've not yet found your way to being able to speak publicly about it, that you wouldn't just, you know, turn off the radio and go sit down and write it out or call somebody. I encourage you not to do that. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to be really wise. And unless God calls you to speak publicly, I think that there may not really be that many good reasons. You know, I mean, this has to be a spiritual undertaking, because there will certainly be a spiritual battle that will follow. Know that we will pray with you and for you in that, and we're certainly always open to talking with you and counseling with you. I'm not a professional counselor, but I'm a peer counselor and a student of God's Word, what I can share with you. You can email me, kim@cradlemyheart.org. That inbox is only seen by me, and it will be kept in confidence and kept private completely. Or you can call us at 800-811-3003. And if you get a voicemail, know that we'll return your call within 24 hours. Please just reach out to someone who cares, whether it's your local pregnancy help center, to get connected with abortion recovery resources, your pastor, a friend who's been encouraging you. Share your heart and share what God has done for you and in you and through you. And if you have no word to share on that score yet, keep hoping, keep praying, and keep your heart open to His love. Kim Cattola saying thank you so much for being with us tonight. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.